Our lesson for this evening is Passion History Part 1, The Lord's Supper. And it was near the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called Passover. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled together in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted that they might take Jesus by trickery and kill him, for they feared the people. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.' Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head as he sat at the table. When his disciples saw this, they were indignant, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this fragrant oil could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have had the poor with you always, and when you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not always have. She has done what she could. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her.' And Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. And he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And he said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' When they heard it, they were glad. And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought an opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on which the Passover must be killed, the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he went and he sent Peter and John and said, 'Go into the city. Behold, when you enter, a man will meet you who is carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters, and say to the owner of the house, "The master says to you, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house. Where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large, furnished upper room. There make ready.' They went and found it as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And in the evening he came and sat at the table with the 12 apostles and said to them, 'With desire I have desired to eat Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes, on the day when I drink again with you in my Father's kingdom.' And while they ate in the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, gave it to them and said, 'Drink of it all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' And they all drank from it. Now before the feast of Passover, which is on the same evening, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dried them with the towel with which he had girded himself. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, then you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I tell you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. Behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And the disciples began to be sorrowful. And they looked at one another and were perplexed about whom he spoke. And they began to ask among themselves who it might be among them, who would do this. And they said to him one after the other, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for him that that man had never been born. And Judas answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have said it. Now there was at the table leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, nodded to him that he should ask who it is of whom he spoke. Then, leaning back on Jesus' bosom, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And he dipped the bread and gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, and after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him, for some of them thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. Then when Judas had gone out, a strife arose among them, which of them should be considered the greatest. But he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who is chief as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I appoint for you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed for me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Then Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, Will you lay down your life for my sake? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. But he said, Most assuredly, I say to you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And he said to them, When I sent you without money bag, sack, and sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, Nothing. Then he said to them, But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise his sack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, It is enough. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is so much that I could unpack from our lesson for tonight, but as the lesson itself went for over 11 minutes, it would take me at least a half hour to get through it. So, in honor of it being Lent, I will only pick out little bits and pieces. But what was read should be a part of our meditation year after year. Psalm 91, our psalm for tonight, really directs our path as Christians. And I think of these words. Now, I understand that if you were here on Sunday, you heard me preach about Psalm 91, but not these words. These words were not included on Sunday. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. You, that is the Christian, the Christian will not fear the terror of the night. The Christian will not fear the arrow and the violence of the day. And the Christian will not fear pestilence or disease or sickness because his hope is in Jesus. Perfect love casts out fear. Dear child of God, let Christ's perfect love cast that out of you. God has promised that he will not allow you to be destroyed. Your soul is secure in him. So do not fear those things that can kill the body that cannot harm the soul. Rather, remember God, who can throw both soul and body into hell if he so chose. But tonight, I want to take more time to meditate on our other reading. Tonight, I want to remind you of the importance of what our Lord has done for us, how he has prepared all things for us. You see, before his going to the cross on our behalf, he has a woman there who pours ointment to bless his body. Oil has long been used to bless a body as it is prepared for death, and then after death, oil is poured out on the body for its burial. And so she does this. She takes the most expensive, fragrant oil she has and she uses it all to anoint Jesus. And it makes the disciples mad. In fact, it's Judas, most assuredly, who is the one who complains that this money could have been used for the poor. Why would Judas say this? Because Judas is in charge of their money bag. And the Bible had told us that Judas had been dipping his hand into that bag. So really, it wasn't that he wanted to give to the poor, rather, he wanted the money for himself. But she does this. And Jesus responds to their anger and indignation with these words, For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. The body of our Lord matters.
his resting place, even for just 3 days, matters. As does the body of each and every Christian. As does the burial resting place for each and every Christian as we await the day of resurrection. We take care of this body as it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we lay it down into the ground or into a mausoleum, we fully acknowledge that we will pick that same body up again. Jesus prepares them for his last supper with them. This is his third Passover, and he uses the Passover to instruct them about who he is. You see, Jesus is the final Passover lamb. All the sins of the people were placed on him, so that when his blood was shed, the people's sins would be covered. So Jesus, in the realm of this Passover meal, institutes something new. He institutes his supper, a supper where he gives his people not just food and drink for the body, but food and drink for the soul. Jesus takes the bread, and these words should sound familiar to you. You hear them every Sunday. Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. When he says this, he means it. What he holds in his hand is not a symbol, but it is what he says it is. It is his body, given for them and then given for his people to eat to receive the forgiveness of sins. Afterward, after distributing his body in the bread, he takes the cup and he says, "Drink of it, all of you, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Each of them had their own cup, and yet Jesus took his cup. And he said, "I want all of you present here tonight to drink my cup, to share a cup that is my blood. Cast your fears aside. Do not fear what might be in this cup unless you come in on repentance. Rather, receive this cup for the blessing that is the forgiveness of sins." That cup still stands, even for us in the 21st century. If you think the diseases that we have today are all that troubling to you, think about what the world has had in the past. And yet Christ institutes his supper and says, "Drink of it. This cup, drink of it, all of you. Share in the single cup to receive my blood for the forgiveness of your sins." And then he commands them to do it often. This is not just a once memorial meal. This is something that they are called to do often. And the church would pick that up. The church would celebrate this sacrament each and every Lord's Day, as the Lutheran confessions proclaim. That every Sunday, as the church would gather, she would gather around the word and the sacrament. That Christ's body and blood that were given and shed once for all time on the cross would be present with them each and every Lord's Day, each and every Sunday, for the forgiveness of sins. The devil was at work. The devil had been tempting Judas. Much like he tempts us, the devil attacked him and tried to cast doubt in him. And for many of us, we say how unfortunate it is that Judas did this. Jesus would acknowledge that this was all part of the Father's plan. And yet he also recognized that it would have been better for Judas' sake had he never been born at all. And so the devil tempted Judas. Judas went and he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He does it on a Wednesday, which is why Wednesdays are traditional days of Christian fasting, days to remember the betrayal of our Lord by Judas the betrayer. So Judas betrays him and seeks an opportunity to cast him to them, that they might arrest him, that they might make an example of him. And then he takes them and he washes their feet. A humble act. He says, "If I do not wash you, then you have no part with me. You see, dear child of God, you have been washed by him. For in the waters of holy baptism, he has washed you. He has cleansed you. He has made you his own. He now says, you do have a part with me. I have washed you with water and the word. I have proclaimed that you are mine. He goes on to tell them about how important it is to be a part of him. He also tells them that there would be one who would betray him, who had already betrayed him, but now his hour was fast approaching. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me and has lifted up his heel against me. If those words sounded in your mind, it is because on this past Sunday, you heard this proclamation. You heard about the heel, that the serpent would bruise Christ's heel, or the offspring of Adam and Eve, and yet that offspring would bruise Satan's head. And so it makes sense here that he had raised his heel against Jesus, for he had been tempted by the devil, he had been overtaken by the devil. But Jesus says to them, he who receives whomever I send receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. When we as Christians go out and share the good news with others, when we are received, it is not us that are being received, it is the Lord who is being received. And yet if people despise you for proclaiming God's word, the truth that Jesus loved them enough to die on the cross for them, then they do not receive him. He says, behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. The Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for him had he never been born. Judas immediately responds, Rabbi, is it I? Jesus said, you have said it. So the disciples, inquiring who it is that would betray him, have the disciple whom Jesus loved ask. Now in the past you have heard me talk about this phrase, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It was St. John, the holy evangelist who writes a gospel about Jesus, constantly refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'd do that too, wouldn't you? And so John lies on his bosom. And he says, Lord, who is it? And he says, this is the sign. The one who takes the bread that I give him is the betrayer. Immediately after asking him, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Judas leaves. And instead they start a new argument. No longer, Lord, I hope it's not me who betrays you. Now it's, who's the greatest? Which of us is the most deserving of this kingdom? Jesus squashes this argument. He says, serve me. Serve your neighbor. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In Luther's Christian Questions and Their Answers in the Small Catechism, he says this, finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament? Answer, that I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sin, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor. That is true service to God. Loving him. Coming to the sacrament each and every Sunday. Serving our neighbors. Jesus told them, I will lay down my life for your sake. Peter says, Lord, can I follow you now? Jesus says, no. And instead he says, Lord, I will lay down my life for you, for your sake. Jesus responds, will you lay down your life for my sake? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. Peter says, no, Lord, I will never abandon you. He says, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Every Lutheran swears a similar vow. For when a Lutheran is confirmed, these are vows that they swear. Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? I do, by the grace of God. Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? I do, by the grace of God. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? I do, by the grace of God. Lord, I will never fall away from you. Let me go even to certain death with you. And look at the current state of affairs. We have sworn to even die rather than leave church, rather than receive his sacrament faith, rather than come each and every Sunday to receive the Lord's word and his sacrament, rather than all of these things, we hide ourselves from his sacrament. We hide ourselves from it. I will suffer all, even death, rather than fall away. Jesus says, for I say to you that which is written must still be accomplished in me, that he would be numbered with the transgressors. And on his cross, he would be numbered with the transgressors, for he received capital punishment, along with two thieves, thieves who deserved that death. Jesus was without sin, and yet he was numbered with the transgressors because of our transgression. For on that cross hung every single sin that you and I have committed. For every time we have failed our confirmation vows, for every time we have been too fearful to go to church, to receive the sacrament of our Lord faithfully as we have sworn, Jesus Christ died. And so if we have found ourselves at any time in the last year or years in that boat, it's time to return. It is time to take those vows to heart. It is time to cry out for God's forgiveness and to receive his sacrament faithfully, to attend to the vows that we have sworn to uphold. Dear church, the time will come where each and every one of us will die, or Christ will return. Are you ready? Are you prepared? The church sings. The cherubim, their faces veiled from light, while saints in wonder kneel, sing praise to him whose face with glory bright no earthly masks conceal. This sacrament God gives us binds us in unity, joins earth with heaven beyond us, time with eternity. Amen.